In other news.
You know, the towers did not burn up. They turned into powder in midair.
That's scary to have this helicopter hovering around.
We walk up to him and confront him. They can't stand that.
Welcome to Another News. I'm Jeff Brady. We go now to the second part of the interview with Kawani Lapsaritis, author of Psychic Bigfoot and the UFO Connection, and his second book, which is the focus of this interview, The Sasquatch Family and Their Interdimensional Connection. Kawani writes this about their psychic ability. Quote, "There is nothing unusual about radar and bats, sonar, echolocation in whales and dolphins, a form of electromagnetism in birds, vibrational receptors in the jawbone of crocodiles, or a shark's ability to smell blood in water nearly a mile away. We accept without question these fascinating attributes in these animals. So why is it difficult to accept a psychic Sasquatch who uses anomalous powers to survive?" Our guest is known to be the first academic to document the dynamics of mental telepathy and psychic healings and of Sasquatch. He's also been witness to their interdimensional travel in the quantum realm. These fantastic observations are not meant to distract from the unique experiences Kawani has received, which are sustained friendships and camaraderie with the forest giants. Kawani is a holistic health consultant and master herbalist with a background in anthropology and psychology. He's a social scientist and has been involved with Sasquatch research for the last 70 years. Kawani also taught anthropology at a New England college and did an ethnographic study living among Tucuna Indians in Upper Amazonia. He later investigated the Yeti while in the Himalayas. He currently resides in eastern Washington State, where he also interacts with up to 9 Sasquatch who live on the mountain behind his house. Kawani, welcome back to Another News.
Thank you for having me.
Kawani, we left off discussing how a vortex might move along ley lines throughout the year, and they're utilized by Sasquatch. You mentioned in your book how your Ojibwe Indian mentor said she and others witnessed an elder become incinerated when attempting to enter a vortex. Regarding portals, of which you distinctly mention are different than a vortex, and in this account from a contactee named Jake who watched a time portal open in his front yard, a street scene from the 1890s came into view. Horse-drawn carriages, cobblestone street. You joked about throwing your cell phone through the portal, which I thought, that is interesting, because what if the cell signals can pass through dimensions? It was just a thought, but if you would, please talk more about these phenomena.
There's a lot of this happening to everyday people that are not interested in anything that we're talking about, but then have start to have these experiences. The earliest one that I read way back in the 1960s was a boy who had a dog, a puppy, and at night the puppy started to whine and stuff, and it woke the child up, and he realized that the dog was under his bed, and so when he crawled underneath, he started to see the dog disappear. That is, just the hind end was sticking out. It was entering a portal. He grabbed onto the dog's leg, and he started to enter the portal. But he had made so much noise that he woke his parents up, and his father came in the room and looked and couldn't find him, and then realized he was under the bed. When he crawled under, his son was partway also into this portal. Kind of freaked him out, and he pulled his son out, and his son pulled the puppy out. Back then, this seems like it's so fantastic, it's that somebody probably made it up. I was in my very early 20s when I read this, and I thought, you know, there's all kinds of stuff that we don't know anything about. We keep discovering it. So what if some of it's bizarre? But it seems to be a part of the natural world. So what so bizarre about discovering interdimensionalism or portals or vortices. We limit ourselves rather than to stay open. I'm very critical. I'm a social scientist, but I'm very critical of other scientists that won't check out some of these situations because they're afraid their peers would come down on them in a negative way. Many of them are professors and stuff. Therefore, they don't want to lose their tenure by making strange statements. But again, that's what science is about, to go out and to evaluate and to gather information and to solve these mysteries. Initially, when I started talking about the interdimensional Sasquatch people and what they can do, and I've seen them dematerialize in front of me several times, I was afraid to mention any of this years ago. Now, what do I care? Why should I be afraid of the truth? So we need a more open-minded researchers, and they feel it's more important to slander people and defame people's character than to search for the Sasquatch. They get involved in all this kind of thing, and that's why I stay clear of them. They've referred to me as a fraud when I talk about the psychic Sasquatch. Well, wait a minute, you know, psychic phenomena has already been proven that it's quantum physics. It's part of the mainstream. But these people are not educated in that area. They're excellent historians where they keep repeating other people's experiences. But the Sasquatch are basically like a mirror. If you go after them in an aggressive, violent way, and that's what you're going to get back. They need to protect themselves. It's no different than somebody trying to break into your house. You're not going to welcome them or be friendly to them. You're going to kick them out, call the police, or shoot them. So, you know, the Sasquatch are defending their territory. If you go with an open heart and with kindness in your heart and with a loving way, that's what you're going to get back from them. And that's why I've been successful and why I'm a world authority on this. Now, these portals, I used to think a portal and a vortex were one and the same, but they're not. A portal is something you can enter, but some of the vortices one can enter, but only at certain times. They can be very dangerous. My mentor, her name was Kiwe Donokwe, Woman of the Northwest Wind from Michigan, told me that on this island that these beings were coming through, which they respected. They didn't try to shoot them or stalk them or any of the stupid things that other researchers are doing. They treated them respectfully. But there was a elder who wanted to go to the other side because his health was failing, and he knew that he didn't have much time left in this life. So they had a ceremony around this vortex, and the tribe used to know when it was safe to go through, but there weren't many of these Ojibwe traditionalists left. And she was 15 years old at the time when this happened, and the elder finally, after a ceremony, stepped through. But he didn't completely go through. He was incinerated right there on the spot. So this is very sad, but something that it's important to know and understand. A vortex can move up and down a vortex line, like a meridian or a ley line. And so it may be perfectly fine in the springtime, but in the fall it may be 60 or 100 feet into another direction, up and down this ley line. So I've seen this many times before. Again, I would never mess with a vortex at all, or even a portal, unless I'm invited. Again, you must be invited, and some people have been invited. I was taken twice through, but they erased my mind and brought me back the same time. And they told me that they gave the ETs that I met on the other side gave me a lot of information that they didn't want released right away, and that in time I will have a memory of what they told me, and they told me, use it to help others, not for gain.
Well, also, just to connect back to what you were saying, I do believe in your book, you ask the reader to also look at these spontaneous combustions and make a plausible case. Is this what could be happening? A vortex is maybe migrating through their home or something.
Yes, there's a man who used to work for the government, and he had a very high clearance, that on his property in Washington State here, he started having all kinds of experiences with the Sasquatch people and with ETs and seeing spaceships and stuff. One night, couldn't sleep, and he wanted to call a friend. Anyway, he stepped outside and walked over to the edge of this embankment, which was quite steep, because I had been on his property several times. A portal opened up, and he looked, and he could see horse-drawn carriages and people from the 1890s, and he was totally shocked by this. These things are happening. Later, him and his wife, one evening in the summertime, so it was still light out, they went into this small field, which they took me into, which is right beside the house, because they live in the wilderness. This is wilderness now. While they were there, they said, oh, look at all those dragonflies. Where are they all coming from? They looked and looked, and one of the so-called dragonflies flew up in front of them and hovered. And it wasn't a dragonfly, it was a fairy. And they could see these fairies coming out of a portal, coming through, and there was a cluster of them. This man, who was well-educated and, like I said, retired from the government, so he wasn't making anything up. He was just telling it like it is. So people are having these kinds of experiences, and I myself have been taken through portals, but again, they erased my mind. But they told me that sometime soon, they're going to take me through a portal to their world, and they want me to come back and write my third book after spending some time with them there and explaining more to me, so I would have it in this my third book. So that's kind of exciting to think about, because there's ETs and many different races of them on the other side, and they have, apparently the Sasquatch have gardens and stuff there. And that's why in the wintertime you don't see too many of them around, or the evidence of them, because they're mostly on the other side. However, people say, well, gee, you know, how come they don't have clothing and they don't even have anything on their feet to keep them warm? Well, I asked them once about that. They said they were chuckling about it, but they said that they have the ability to control their body temperature. So as it gets cold, they turn up the heat just by thinking. There's a way that they do that. This is part of the answer to them. They're that evolved, where some of these things that I'm speaking about have been dismissed by the naive so-called experts. They're too busy, just trying to get physical evidence, which I stopped getting. I had fingerprints, I had hair, and I still have the hair and stuff, all kinds of stuff that they gave me, but nobody was interested. So I'm not interested in trying to share any of that. I'd rather have their friendship, which I do, and where they've helped me and I've helped them. So that's more important to me on a spiritual level rather than strictly scientific. In other words, you need to have a body. Well, sorry, that's not going to happen. It's to me, and they even said this, that this is unevolved kind of thinking, that there's plenty of evidence that they exist, that you don't need a body, and besides, there are people. When I did a ethnographic study amongst the Tucuna Indians of Upper Amazonia, a place called the Upper Rio Loreto Yaku, in 1973, I didn't go in there with guns and threaten them or whatever. I brought gifts, friendship, and was kind. I was so kind to them that they twice came up to me and said, "Are you missionaries? Are you a missionary?" And I said, "Well, no, I'm a scientist. I just want to learn from you." And because of my kindness, that's what you do with the Sasquatch people. You be kind. They've told me, always walk in unconditional love. And they mean a spiritual love, again. And spiritual love means respect for all living things. And this is extremely important to them because we've allowed these mega corporations that have billions of dollars to destroy the planet by overmining. They're finding mercury and other heavy metals and all kinds of animals that have died even. And we're breathing that in. The medical industry is now aware how heavy metals and chemicals in our environment are causing cancer and a lot of diseases of the nervous system, like Parkinson's and so on. But those people who are greedy have no idea about karma. Once a E.T. told me about karma, and twice the Sasquatch people discussed karma with me and how important it is to monitor your thoughts even. So this is important. This is what I do. They're teaching me stuff, and I learn and understand. I've read books on karma by Yogananda and so on, and these things are more important than the average person realizes. They're just so busy in their workaday world and all the problems they have with family and all these cell phones, and people can't relate to their own family. They're so busy with technology. I've noticed in restaurants, a couple will come in, husband and wife, and they sit there and they place their order, but then they're on their cell phones. They're not even talking to each other, and they're only 2 feet away from each other, and they're still, everything's a cell phone. Everything is this and that. Their whole lives are wrapped up in that. I don't have one. I don't need one. I don't want one.
Well, Kwani, you have nicely outlined this realm where these beings can move into our reality and out. And you recall in your book, The Sasquatch People, quote, "The vortex users visit here to exploit our world by either preying on animals or eating vegetation. It's akin to a scuba diver exploiting an underwater world to get fish and mollusks, then returning to the air-breathing realm," end quote. This connects into theories of the hidden predator alluded to throughout the Missing 411 books by David Politis, that some type of predator intrudes into this density with such accuracy and renders the human into a missing person's statistic. Some have suspected forest-dwelling cryptids are to blame, but it happens in suburban areas as well. And I want to emphasize, forest giants and other cryptids are ruled out as hidden predators in this. What are your thoughts on this type of predation?
Okay, first of all, it's a very complex phenomena, all this that I'm going to talk about, and I'm going to just touch on it. The Sasquatch are being blamed for missing people. People seem to go in that direction. However, it is the ETs that can zap a person. It's just like on some of these science fiction shows. They can dematerialize right in place. So people were hiking. The bad ETs are harvesting humans, and that's what's happening. However, because the Sasquatch were asked many, many millions of years ago by friendly ETs to take care of and to teach the humans how to survive and so on. Eventually, that was turned around, and the Sasquatch were sought after in a negative way. The negative ETs, the bad guys, and there's the good, bad, and the indifferent everywhere in the universe. So when people say, "Oh, the ETs did this," well, wait a minute, which ones? There's the good ones out there, too. Those are the ones that the Sasquatch are involved with. So what the ETs, bad ETs, did was to take some of the DNA from captured Sasquatch, where they could capture one easily because they have the ability, the technology, and they'll take some of the DNA and produce another being that resembles a Sasquatch but is not a Sasquatch. This is the complication here. That being has the ability even to kill a Sasquatch, but it has all the characteristics, all the psychic abilities of a Sasquatch. So they're the ones that are taking, at times, taking people because they can dematerialize and then materialize 10 feet from a person and reach over and grab them. So this is a setup, and this is what I've been told. The Sasquatch are not harming people. They're not cannibals or anything, but these other beings are cannibals. So they've been given this ability, again, by the bad ETs. At times, the ETs are dematerializing people who are hiking, or even, a couple, because many couples have disappeared, husband and wife and so forth. However, on the ground, this real monster that people are blaming the Sasquatch for, because at a distance they look similar, for the missing 411. I mean, I've experienced a lot of stuff, even one time in terms of portals and stuff. I was driving to go to a particular store in North Seattle, and I had a passenger, a friend, with me. And I said to her, well, I says, it's only about another 75 yards around, because she kept saying, well, where is the store? I says, just around the corner here, 75 yards away. And that's what I told her. And I was driving west on the highway, and there was cars all around me. The next thing I knew, I was completely confused, and so was she, because I was driving east 5 or 6 miles away on a completely different road. I mean, this happened instantaneously. They teleported the ETs teleported my car and with me in it, and a witness, she witnessed this whole thing. So I had to turn around and go all the way back and fight traffic and everything to go to this store. These are some of the abilities that they have, and we need to listen to these abilities, because these are hints of who these beings are and what they can do. You know, they can heal cancer easily and many other things that we know nothing about. The average person, of course, isn't even interested in Sasquatch as a rule, other than maybe as a fantasy or a science fiction thing on TV. As a matter of fact, I'm against all these monster movies that are out there, and they have Sasquatch or Sasquatch-type beings in these shows, and it vilifies them. It puts them in a bad state. They look like real monsters, and so people are afraid whenever they see a Sasquatch when there's no need. If you're friendly, they're going to be friendly. I've been interacting with them for 46 years now, and of course been doing the Sasquatch research for 70 years. I have a handle on what's happening. Again, the other researchers, many of them have referred to me as a fraud because they're poor guys. I have to get out my violin almost. They haven't had any experience, but they're so aggressive towards their fellow researchers and probably at home in their families they are and stuff. And so when they're out there, they have fear, violence, and aggression on their mind, and that's a low vibration. And the Sasquatch don't want anything to do with these people and will chase them out of the area. I don't want them around me either. That's why I don't interact with a lot of these mainstream researchers anymore, because they don't know what they're doing. They're aggressive towards myself, even slanderous, because they fear the truth. And that is the truth, what I'm speaking.
Kawani, based on some of your reports of interacting with alien beings and having your car teleported Have you had regression therapy to find out what may have happened to you during the periods of missing time?
When I was taken through a portal, and at one time they put me ahead in 12 years into the future, and met ETs and so on, but they erased my mind. And I said to an ancient one named Haloti, which I was very friendly with, I asked her, and this was in Oklahoma, said, well, how come you erased my mind? And he said, no, we didn't erase it. We took you back to the same time that we took you. And the reason for that is because you have free will. We don't want to interfere with the free will. You can discover all this stuff for yourself as time goes on, because all that will come back to you. I understand regressions because I am a hypnotherapist, retired, and don't care to go back. I don't. To me, so what? You know, whatever happens, happens, and that information to me will be there when I need it. So I don't feel that I need to go under any kind of regression.
Kawani, you reference an alien message in year 1984 that you received on reincarnation. The entity said, it's real, reincarnation is real, but more expanded than the way some people believe it. He said it's really all life, as we recycle in and out of different bodies on different planes in different lifetimes. So in a sense, we never die. Several guests have been on this show discussing reincarnation and ways to evade the reincarnation trap because of the memory wipe. Have you received messages from the forest giants or alien entities about a potential reincarnation trap or similar topics within the afterlife?
No, they have not discussed about the reincarnation trap. As a matter of fact, I'm not sure I believe it, because if you have karma, you're going to come back anyway. So if you don't have any more karma, then you go towards the light, as far as I understand. There's nothing else to go towards there. So this reincarnation trap are only those who have karma to resolve.
Well, Kawani, a friend wanted me to ask you about your thoughts on the foul-smelling defense mechanism associated with the forest people. It's possible there is an activation of a gland when they're angry or startled, as you've written. This may not be unlike the octopi or squid squirting ink at predators, wanting to keep humans away as far as possible, but this defense is in final warning stages, as a stink bug might release when handled. Another layer would consider, are the Sasquatch people using their psychic ability to mind control humans into thinking they perceive this odor? What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, they try not to interfere by projecting themselves psychically, but it's like a skunk. I've had a skunk come up to me and sniff my feet and then it went off. And I was out jogging at the time, and I saw it. I stopped, and it came right over to me. So twice I've seen skunks up close. It was never sprayed or anything, because I have a love of animals, and my aura radiates that, and they can pick up on that. So with the Sasquatch and ancient ones, instead of attacking a person, they can just, out of being startled or threatened in some way, it will release this and overpower the person. So they can't function properly because their eyes burn and the smell is overpowering. So that's why they do it. It's a stink bomb that they release. I remember many years ago in Wisconsin, a woman and her friend were in a tent, and it was in a known area where they were seeing Sasquatch quite frequently, and they heard this thump, thump, thump walk right up to the tent. And so they knew, and they could hear this heavy breathing, on the other side of the tent, and they got afraid. The young man had a 22 rifle where he was target shooting the day before, and he had it, and he said, maybe I should go out with my gun, you know, wanting to protect. There was no need, of course, his lady friend. And as soon as he said that, all of a sudden the stink bomb went off, and they were choking, their eyes were watering and stinging and everything, but only since he mentioned he was going to go outside with a gun. So that ended his thoughts of going outside. This is how they use it. It's never happened to me, even though they've walked right up to me. I had several times a mild fragrance of a skunky odor, but it was so mild, it was not offensive at all. For example, when I've spoke at over 120 conferences over the years, and when I was at the International UFO Congress, with people, speakers came from all over the world, and that was my second time speaking there. But when I got through, it was a very powerful talk that I gave to about 700 people. And later, when I went up to my room in the hotel, shortly after that, this fragrance of a mild skunky odor was all through the suite that I was in. It was a big suite that they put me up in. They were there, and so I talked to them, and they were so pleased how I presented myself and everything. And there was a whole group of them, not just one or two people. There was a whole group of them. So that odor was there, but again, it was super mild and not at all offensive. So this is how it is. And if you're threatening them, they can release the stink bomb.
Yeah, it's quite remarkable. So many accounts of this, but thank you for putting that into perspective. Dr. Ross Hamilton has been a guest on this show, and you reference his book in your book, The Sasquatch People and Their Interdimensional Connection. He suggests the ancient ones don't fit into the Smithsonian's Darwinian frame and thus conceal skeletal evidence. His paper is titled The Holocaust of Giants and the Great Smithsonian Cover Over, What Happened to the Skeletons? Dr. Hamilton has also written about the history of the Susquehanna Giants. What have you learned about the Susquehanna and their interaction with the forest giants?
Well, for one thing, I was told the burial mounds were built by the ancient ones, which again, the Sasquatch have a peaked head, ape-like face, even though they said they're not connected whatsoever with the anthropoid apes, and their arms are down to their knees, where the ancient ones have a round head, a human face, and their arms are in proportion to their body like ours. And they told me when the friendly ETs bioengineered the humans, that is us, they took some of the DNA from the ancient ones, except that, you know, we didn't have all the abilities or the giantism and so on. They feel a connection with us, but they said they built the mounds. Well, when back in the mid-1800s in Ohio and Indiana, many of these places that had the burial mounds, they dug them up and found these, actually a few thousand, not just one or two or whatever, of these skeletons of giant people. Some of them were so huge, you could take a skull fitted over a human's head. That's how huge these skulls were. Now, they were all sent to the Smithsonian Institution, but this was at a time where it's being funded by Darwinian people that believed in the theory of evolution. They didn't want to rock the boat, apparently, and so they stored these away or destroyed them. I don't know what they did. But it is a giant cover-up, if I could say that, instead of using that, because it's a part of reality. It's a physical, this is the physical part of these giants. All this was repressed. It still is. If you go there and ask, oh, can I see the giant skeletons? He says, what are you talking about? There isn't any. So they're protecting it. So they're sugarcoating things and telling the public lies. And I think a lot of the science, I know that, for example, as a healer, myself, as a health consultant and healer for this year, it's been 50 years that I've been doing healing work. I had cancer twice, and the ETs told me what to do, and so I have that, and I'm fine. But what I'm saying is that they've done research, cancer research, and some of it was not true, but just to get funding, more funding. So who do you trust? Who do you trust out there? So I'm just saying that science doesn't have all the answers, and science on some levels, again, you must be discerning and not embrace all of whatever science is telling you, because I've read stuff myself that I knew wasn't true, because I already had an experience in that area that it was just a lot of BS, and yet they labeled it science. So anyway, the Smithsonian is not being truthful, however they're whatever they're doing. And then giants here, they told me there were hairless giants also that were dropped off here. The Neanderthals were also bioengineered and dropped off here, and so on. There is no missing link. That's another fallacy. There is no missing link. And they try to say that there is, but they make a leap from one hominid to another without a true missing link, because there isn't any. These hominids were bioengineered or genetically engineered by friendly ETs millions of years ago. They're that powerful. They're that evolved, way beyond us. And so this seems magical. Oh, if it's magical, it's magic. And if it's magic, magic isn't true. A trickery. So that's how some people view things. So we must be careful, because we're not being told our true origins. I asked one about God and stuff, and he says, well, God has told us to do this and that and so on. Well, I'm not sure how. He never explained that to me. But apparently they're so evolved that maybe they are getting messages from God. What do we know? What do we know? We don't know. So to make fun of that or to say that's baloney, to dismiss it is the wrong thing to do. We must at least keep it on the back burner to get more information to see what's real and what isn't in the universe.
Well, speaking of missing link, amorous encounters between humans and Sasquatch types appear to be rare but authentic and are reported in other countries. You open the first chapter depicting an interbreeding operation initiated by a female Sasquatch and a human male. Haloti, an ancient one, claims the mound builders were a branch of her race called the Adena people. Later, some of the Indians miscegenated with the Sasquatch people and live there today, hiding out in Louisiana swamps. What have you learned about this crossbreeding, and is there any updated information in this category?
That's important to them, to miscegenate with humans. And why can they do that? Because they have the same amount of chromosomes, 46 chromosomes, that we do. Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to interbreed. So this strengthens their gene pool. In Russia, Zana, who was some kind of a forest person, and she got pregnant several times by the village men that were there, that she was in a shed or in the barn, and they'd get drunk and they'd go and miscegenate. The children, one that generally they died, but one that lived had unusual abilities, and he was stronger than most people, but he looked like a human. That's been well documented, very well documented. So it's not a fantasy or just hearsay. So they found, the offspring, which it was a man, there living amongst just, I don't know what he did for a living or whatever, but he is now deceased. And also, of course, the ETs are also miscegenating with humans. One woman called me up from the Midwest, and this is when I was living in Oregon. She said that she was afraid because after her husband goes to work, which was early in the morning, he leaves around 6 o'clock, she would be still in bed. The ETs came, a certain race of them, and had fertilized her, that she woke up with, they're putting something up her vagina and so on, and she was horrified. And then later, they came, she looked like she was becoming pregnant, which she was. They came and took the fetus. But she was sore. Her cervix was sore, so she went to a gynecologist, and the woman gynecologist said, tell your husband not to put objects there because it's kind of raw back there. And she says, well, we don't do that. And she says, oh, I know, it's embarrassing to think about, but tell him not to do it, you know. Well, it wasn't him, of course, it was the ETs, whatever they did in order to fertilize her. I said, well, what does your husband think of this? And she says, I haven't told him. I said, what? Why not? She says, I was afraid to. I just, it's too bizarre, it seems. So I encouraged her to tell her husband. And when she told her husband, he broke down and wept and said, they've been taking me too. I just didn't want to tell you either. I didn't want to scare you. So this was going on. And she told me on the phone that she'd get back to me in a few days. And 2 months went by, and I hadn't heard anything from her. And I usually get a person's phone number. Somehow I did not with her. So I couldn't call her to find out what's going on, because I was counseling her and helping her to not be afraid. And all of a sudden, after 2 months, I got a phone call from her. And she apologized and said that she had lost my phone number but couldn't remember my last name, Lapsaritis. And so she couldn't go to information and get my phone number again. And I said, oh, then you finally found it. She said, no, I didn't find your number. She said, but I was looking and looking and wondering. And after my husband went to work, there was a knock on the front door, and we live in the country. She looked out, and she saw this man dressed in black with sunglasses and a very chalky skin. And she opened the door, but there was a storm door in between, and she didn't want to open that because he looked weird. And he held up a piece of paper to try to give it to her, so she opened the door, grabbed the piece of paper, and quickly shut and locked the door. And when she opened it up, it was my phone number. And she quickly looked outside, and right away, within seconds, and he was gone. There's no car, nothing anywhere. And so what they can do is, like on Star Trek, they can beam somebody down and beam them back up again. You know, this is what happens. There was a situation that a man told me. He asked me not to use his name or anything, which I, of course, agreed. But that he lived in Oregon, and him and his wife went up on this mountain at night. It was almost night, in order to see stars or see a comet or something. I can't remember what it was, but it's atop of this small mountain. And the Sasquatch stepped out and started talking to them and then turned and walked away, and it stunned them. Now, both him and his wife are well-educated. He has a master's degree. And they went back up the next night, thermos full of coffee to stay awake all night, trying to connect with the Sasquatch. But what they saw was some kind of a spaceship that landed. It was in the shape of a cone, like an ice cream cone, and it landed down way down below. So they said, well, wow, I wonder what that's about. When it got light again, before they went home, he took a dirt road to go where they saw this strange-looking spaceship land. And there it was. It was right there. But there were two men in black and a woman. The woman had a blonde wig on and sunglasses and a bright red dress. She looked really offbeat completely. They were shocked by this. And he rolled the window down to look, get a better look, because they were right there in front of him. One of the men, who was a man in black, walked over to him and telepathically said to him and his wife, this place is dangerous for you. You need to leave now. And that freaked them out even more, and they quickly left. You know, there are strange things that happen, but this whole phenomena is strange, so I don't even think anything of it anymore. I've had so many bizarre experiences, and the paranormal has become very normal to me. The paranormal is a part of universal reality, so why should it be not normal? It's, of course, not normal to most of us, but it probably is with trees. They're finding there's connection now with trees, and, of course, animals that, you know, have... many of them have this telepathic ability. These things are happening. I mean, I met a man in Oklahoma in the Kiamishi Wilderness where I was researching and living at the time temporarily, and who was having these experiences with a female ancient one with a human face. And she would come to visit him, and they'd go to bed and so forth. And it was very normal for him because he didn't have very many friends and he didn't have visitors, but he had her periodically coming to visit. Also, there's another one that an ancient one had a interaction, a sexual interaction with a 60-year-old man who lived by a lake, a small lake. He got her pregnant because she knew when she could get pregnant, and she came back to him and knocked on the door. When he opened the door, she pointed to her stomach and telepathically said to him, it took, smiled, and then walked away. So apparently there's more of this happening than we realize, just people aren't talking about it because they don't want to be made fun of, they don't want to be labeled something negative, of course, and that's understandable. So there are, I think, more of this happening than it's been revealed, again, because of how strange it seemed.
Thank you for those anecdotes. Kawani, Cosmic Switchboard host James Bartley, who I think you were on his show, he says he suspects a positive sea change has occurred with regard to public perception of the forest giants. And you write, quote, if only investigators would shift their thinking and trust in a more gentle, congenial approach, the Sasquatch people would feel good if researchers would get out of their heads and into their hearts and act respectfully to other researchers, to everyone and every living thing. Do you see a shift now toward a more positive research community happening?
Well, I've influenced this myself. People are... not everybody, but many people are referring to the Sasquatch as the Sasquatch people. And I coined that, and now it's spread around. People are starting to utilize that label, which I like, of course, because they are an evolved people. They're 100 times more evolved than we are, regardless of how they look. We've degraded Native Americans, we degraded the Asians, and we degraded the African people. We didn't learn from the Native American people about nature and to keep a balance in nature and not to destroy everything. We destroyed everything. This whole planet's now polluted. So we really have not been taught. We could have learned from the Native American people that respected the environment. And so I have a real big problem with that myself, and really dislike some of these companies. Of course, I don't get on a soapbox about it, but I'm saying now that all this has created pollution that is affecting being in the healthcare industry as a healthcare professional for many years, for 50 years basically. The diseases back when I was growing up in the 50s, maybe you heard one in five people would get cancer. Now, if you go into an auditorium full of people, 50% of them will get cancer in our lifetime. 50%. That's insane. People, we don't know what causes cancer. Of course you know. Stop lying or wake up. It's from pollution. All this stuff doesn't belong. Anything that's artificial doesn't belong in the human body. People sometimes make fun of organic food. Oh, you don't know if it's really organic. They just claim that. Maybe so. Maybe it's not. But I do know that non-organic is loaded with pesticides and herbicides that will cause cancer and a lot of diseases of the nervous system and the brain. So I know that for a fact. So I'd rather take my chances with organic food and pay the extra, hopefully not building up toxins in my body, which I do cleanses every year to purify my body, because none of that belongs there. So they discovered even in cities where people live their whole lives out that it's an increase in cancer, in heart disease, and in strokes in people in the cities. Why? Well, they're breathing in particles that are heavy metals and other chemicals because it's concentrated in from the emissions and everything. So we're shortening our lives. We're doing all this ourselves. It's pure foolishness. Just, and the Sasquatch said, just because of greed. I mean, pharmaceutical industry is easily threatened by people who do natural healing. How can they be? It's a multi-trillion-dollar industry. Don't those people have enough money? Don't they have enough money at all, the greedy guys? I mean, they're horrible. They're horrible. They've made money their god. So they need to wake up. Maybe they will in 20 lifetimes or so.
Maybe more lifetimes. I don't know. Kawani Lapsaritis, I want to thank you for being on Another News and the courage you've shown to bring this information forward. I thank you for that. And you took a lot of risk, you know, socially and physically in the hundreds of excursions you've taken and brought back the evidence of profound interaction with the forest giants. And thank you again for being on Another News.
Thank you for having me and allowing me to share what I discovered in my life over 8.5 decades of being on this planet. So I've learned something, not just because I have 4 degrees and everything, but life itself and talking to people and interacting with people has been a joy for me to expand my own awareness of what's going on in this world and some of the things, at least, that are going on in the universe. So that's important to me to fulfill my mission here in life. That's on a personal level, but I thank you for allowing me to share to the overall public. So I commend you for having people on to educate the public more on many mysteries and things. If anyone is interested in connecting with the forest people or have questions, or of course I do still doing a lot of healing work, they can contact me at sasquatchpeople@hotmail.com. It's a hot subject, so it's Hotmail. Sasquatchpeople, all one word, @hotmail.com, or they can call me directly at 509-590-0415. Once again, 509-590-0415. If people have questions or need to speak with me, I'm very open to that. So, once again, thank you. Thank you all.
That's going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. Visit inothernewsradio.com for archives and more information about the guests.